Well, look at Amos chapter 3, the book of Amos. Jim's been going through the different Old Testament books on Sunday night. Well, I want to look at Amos chapter 3, and we're going to call this lesson The Lord and the Lion. There's no question but that the Lord roars like a lion in declaring judgments upon sinful Gentiles in the Old Testament from Damascus to Moab. In Amos chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, Amos said, "And he said, the Lord will roar from Zion and will utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the habitations of the shepherds shall mourn, and the top of Carmel shall wither. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Damascus, and for four I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they threshed Gilead with the threshing instruments of iron." Then we look at chapter 2 of the book, verse 1. And Amos writes, "Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Moab, and for four I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because he burned the bones of the king of Edom in the lime." God also roared against the sins of Judah and Israel in the Old Testament. If you take a look at Amos chapter 2, verses 4 through 6. "Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Judah and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they have despised the law of the Lord, have not kept his commandments, and their lies caused them to err, after which their fathers have walked. But I will send forth, I will send fire upon Judah, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Israel, and for four I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they sold the righteous for silver, and the poor for a pair of shoes." The Lord roars like a lion in specifying the sins of Israel. The peril of privilege becomes evident, because this is the first of three addresses of the prophet Amos. The second address comes in chapter 4, and the third address comes in chapter 5. And you can read them at your own leisure. But we're going to look at the first address this evening. In the first place, the challenge to hear the lion's roar. Now let's look at the third chapter, verses 1 through 8. "Hear this word that the Lord hath spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up out of the land of Egypt, saying, you have only have I known of all the families of the earth, therefore I will punish you for your iniquities. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Will a lion roar in the forest when he hath no prey? Will a young lion cry out of his den if he have nothing, if he had taken nothing? Yet a bird fall in a snare upon the earth. Where there's a gin is for him, shall one take up a snare from the earth and have nothing at all, taken nothing at all? Shall a trumpet be blown in the city and the people be not afraid? Shall there be evil in a city and the Lord hath not done it? Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. The lion hath roared and will not fear. The Lord God hath spoken. Who can but prophesy?" Israel had sinned against the great God's goodness. In verse 2, we see he says, "You only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquities," said Amos about Israel. Israel had left God. Amos was God's prophet. And in being God's prophet, and God, in his judgment against Israel, are in agreement. Amos is the prophet of God. God tells Amos he's going to punish Israel, and they're both in agreement. Amos told the people of Israel what was going to happen to them, how they was going to suffer because of their sins. Look at Amos 3 and 3. It said, can two walk together except they be agreed? Amos and God was agreed. Amos was just passing on the information from God. You know, you go out in the wild, the lion roars just before he pounces on his prey. Israel had set by their sinfulness a snare for herself. She had been a snare for herself because of her sins, because of the way she lived before God. Verse 5 of chapter 3, we see that. When Amos said, can a bird fall in a snare upon the earth? When no gin is in for him. Who should take up a snare from the earth and have nothing at all? Israel has caught herself in her own snare, said Amos. The lion has roared, said Amos. The judgment of Israel is rapidly coming. In verse 8, said the lion has roared, who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken, who can but prophesy? Amos said, here, Israel, here is your fate. Your fate is from God because of your disobedience to Him, because of your neglect for His law, because of you sinning against God openly and sinning against His holy will. He said, therefore, the challenge was to hear the lion's roar. Israel heard the lion's roar from through the prophet Amos from God. And we can see in our own lives, in today's society, God still roars. He roars through His Word, and people today, if they will not change their lives, will suffer the same fate that Amos said Israel was going to suffer. In the second place, let's look at the reason for the roar of the lion. What's the reason? The reason is, we've got a problem. We've got a big main problem here. It's in verse 10. Verse 10 of chapter 3 is the problem. They do not know to do right. They do not know to do right. They had rejected the plan of God. God had a plan for them to be to follow a law, for them to follow, a way in which He warned them to follow, and a way He warned them to worship Him. But they didn't do it. They thought their own way and their own thoughts were above God's ways and God's thoughts. Because we see in the Bible, it says it's not in man to direct his steps. But we have to look at God, and we have to look at the law of God. And we know that what we do right, we get the information from the law of God, which is the Bible. And in getting that information, then we live according to that law. God's plan had been rejected, but we see different areas of that time. Parents were to teach God's word to their children. That had gone by the wayside at that time. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 through 9. Deuteronomy is the second giving of the law. And Moses wrote these words. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And I shall bind them for a sign upon thine hand. And they shall be as frontlets between thy eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. God wanted the Israelite parents at that time to teach their children the word of God continually. They quit doing that. They quit the public reading of the law every 7 years. You can find that in Deuteronomy chapter 31. verses 9 through 13. And here's the public reading of the law of God for every 7 years, and they quit doing it. Begin with verse 9 of Deuteronomy 31, and we'll go through verse 13. It says, and Moses wrote this law and delivered it to the priests, the sons of Levi, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and to all the elders of Israel. And Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, in the solemnity of the year of release, in the feast of tabernacles, when all Israel is come to appear before the Lord thy God, in the place which he shall choose, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Gather the people together, men, women, children, and the stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear, that they may learn, and fear the Lord your God, and observe to do all the words of the law. That thou children which have not known anything may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God, as long as ye live in the land, whether ye go over Jordan to possess it. That's what they were supposed to do, but they hadn't been doing it. They had been neglecting the public reading of the law. Memorials were established in the Old Testament to remind God's people that God had delivered them out of Egyptian bondage, for instance, Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 12 talks about the Sabbath day. It says, keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it, or to set aside, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, as a holy day. They had been neglecting the Sabbath day, because, as God had commanded them. They hadn't been doing that. Here's another feast day called the Passover, which we're familiar with in the New Testament. And then you can find that in Deuteronomy chapter 16 and verse 1. Here are the instructions concerning the Passover. Observe the month Abib and keep the Passover unto the Lord thy God. For in the month Abib, the Lord thy God brought thee forth out of Egypt by night. The Passover was to be observed every year in remembrance of God delivering his children of Israel from Egyptian bondage. They were to do this every year. But they did not do it. There was a time and period in Israel's history where she just didn't observe the law of God. But she knew they should, but she didn't do it. Then we look at the Feast of Weeks, Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 10. And these are the three main festivals of each year. Deuteronomy 16 and verse 10 says, and thou shalt keep the feast of weeks unto the Lord thy God with the tribute of freewill offerings of thine hand, which thou shalt give unto the Lord thy God according to, as the Lord thy God had blessed thee. They should return back to God what they've been blessed during this period of time. And then we think about the Feast of Tabernacles. And you can find that in Deuteronomy chapter 16. Deuteronomy chapter 16, verses 13 and 14. And thou shalt observe the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days after thou hast gathered in thy corn and thy wine. And thou shalt rejoice in thy feast, thou and thy son and thy daughter, and thy manservant and thy maidservant, and the Levite, the stranger, and his fatherless, and the fatherless and widow, there within thy gates. They were observed the Sabbath every seventh day. They were observed the Passover, the Feast of Weeks, and Tabernacles, Feast of Tabernacles every year. But again, they didn't do it. In fact, if you look in 1 Kings chapter 12, starting in verse 28. The kings of that period wasn't God-fearing kings. You remember Martin talked about this morning, the divided kingdom, how Jeroboam was the king of the 10 tribes up north, and Rehoboam was the king of the 2 tribes down south. Well, here's Jeroboam in 1 Kings chapter 12, verses 28 through 33. If you look at this passage, we see where Jeroboam is going to change the way people is going to worship God. Not worship God, but worship idols. He says, whereupon the king took counsel. First of all, he took counsel. He had somebody else to tell him what to advise him instead of God. And he made two calves of gold and said unto them, it is too much for you to go to Jerusalem. Behold, thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And he set one in Bethel and the other put he in Dan. And this thing became a sin. For the people went to worship before the one, even unto Dan. And he made a house of high places and made priests of the lowest of the people, which were now the sons of Levi. Didn't even take the priests from the tribe of Levi. Anybody he thought would qualify, that's who the priests were. And Jeroboam ordained a feast in the 8th month and on the 15th day of the month, like unto the feast that is in Judah, and he offered upon the altar. So did he in Bethel. Sacrificing unto the calves that he had made, he placed in Bethel the priest of the high places which he had made. And he offered upon the altar which he had made in Bethel the 15th day of the 8th month, even in the month which he had devised of his own heart, and ordained a feast in the children of Israel. And he offered up on the altar and burnt incense. Didn't do anything God said. All was by his directions. What's the reason for the roaring of the lion? It's because children, Israel, God's people, did not be obedient to his will. They didn't follow his instructions. They didn't follow his plan. So God through Amos tells these people, these people are going to have to suffer. They're going to have to suffer because of their disobedience to God. In the third place, what's the results of the lion's roar? Let's look at the results. Now you'll find this in Amos chapter 3 verses 12 through 15. Let's read that just a minute. Thus saith the Lord, as a shepherd taketh out the mouth of the lion two legs, or a piece of an ear, so shall the children of Israel be taken out that dwell in Samaria, in the corner of a bed, and in Damascus in a couch. Hear ye and testify in the house of Jacob, saith the Lord God, the God of hosts, that in the day that I shall visit the transgressions of Israel upon him, I will also visit the altars of Bethel, and the horns of the altar, and shall be cut off and fall to the ground. And I will smite the winter house and the summer house, and the houses of ivory shall perish, and the great houses shall have an end, saith the Lord. The shepherd and the lion show Israel will be taken out of Samaria, according to verse 12. The shepherd and the lion are the illustrations there. Israel will dwell in a corner of a bed. God will pronounce judgment upon Israel. Israel will experience punishment for her rebellion against God. We see the false religion will not sustain Israel. Verse 14, he said, "Day and the day that I will visit the transgressions of Israel." God didn't say, "I might visit." He said, "I will visit," through Amos, "the transgressions of Israel upon him, and I will also visit the altars of Bethel, where they worshiped idols. And the horns of the altar should be cut off and fall to the ground." Those idols will be no more. They'll be gone. God will destroy those idols. Their material things will be taken from them. You look at verse 15. It said, the people were living in a luxury of winter and summer houses. They had winter houses, they had summer houses. I guess they had to pay any property tax concerning that. But they were living in luxuries, what Amos is saying. He said, the houses with ivory shall be destroyed. They were looking at physical things. Physical things was more important to them than the obedience to God. And he said, even the very great or big houses shall be destroyed. Israel had a lot of material things on that occasion. But God said that he would destroy it through Amos. Because of their disobedience, because of their neglect of the law of God, because of their neglect concerning certain aspects of the Word of God, parents teaching the children God's Word, or neglecting the public reading of the law every 7 years, or not observing the Sabbath, not observing the Passover, not observing the Feast of Weeks, not observing the Feast of Tabernacles, and following after a leader, a king called Jeroboam, who took liberties and set up idols for the people to worship. God's people is identified as His church. 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 15 says that it's the house of God. We all tonight are part of this church, the house of God. The church is not the building, it's the people. It's the people that comprise the church. Because Israel was unfaithful in her relationship to God, doesn't mean she's the only one even today that can be unfaithful. People today can be unfaithful to God just like Israel was in the long ago. In Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 and 13, the writer would say, take heed. He said, pay attention. Brethren, he's talking to Christians. He says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. He says, you can fall away from God as a Christian. He says, in falling away and departing from the living God. You can depart from the law of God. You can depart from the ways of God. You can depart of what God wants you to do. Just like Israel. He says, you don't have to, but exhort one another daily. He said, this is a way you can keep from departing from God. Exhort one another daily. Why it's called today. Why it's the present time. Not wait till tomorrow. He says, lest there be any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Sin is very deceitful, folks. The devil paints a pretty picture. He did for Jesus when tempted three times by the devil, and each time Jesus said, it is written. It is written. And finally he said, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. The devil leaveth him, but he came back. The devil leaves us, but he comes back. And he keeps on coming back because he wants us to be lost. But you know, there's some safeguards for faithfulness that must be safeguarded in our lives. Parents, teach the Word of God to your children. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, Paul specifically said, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. He said, therefore, teach your children the way of God. Teach your children the principles of God. Teach your children what they need to know concerning God, and then they will grow up as productive citizens in the kingdom. And then, remembering the memorial, the Lord's Supper, which we partake of every first day of the week. Paul reminded the brethren at Corinth about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 23, chapter 11 and verse 23. He says, for I received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night which he betrayed. Then in verse 23, he said he took that bread. And in verse 24, he said, what? This do in remembrance of me. And then verse 25, Paul said, Jesus took the cup and he also said, this do in remembrance of me. We remember the death and the burial and resurrection of Jesus until the coming of Jesus. That's the purpose for the Lord's Supper. Then we remember what God has done for us. Hebrews chapter 10 in verse 36. God has done so much for us. The writer would say, for ye have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. We have need of patience and do what God wants us to do in our lives. Then at the end of time, we will receive that promise of eternal life. Jesus told us about that promise in John 14. He said, I'm going to go and I'm going to prepare a place for you and I'm going to come again. But right now, I'm going to prepare you a mansion. And that's where Jesus is. He's at the right hand of the throne of God at this hour. And he's interceding for you, for me, and he wants us to live lives that are productive and fruitful in his kingdom. God is still holy, and God is still just. And he demands that we honor and respect him, not for his good, but for our own good. Our own good. If you look at Romans chapter 2, verse 10, Paul would say, but God, glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. We can receive glory, we can receive honor, and we can receive peace from God. But we have to work good. We have to be obedient to God. We have to be obedient all our lives unto God. Then we look at false religions are abundant today. False religions will not sustain the soul of man. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 13, but he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. If it's not in this book, folks, don't believe it. Believe everything in this book. Whatever I say tonight, whatever Jim says when he's up here, or Martin, investigate it. Investigate what we say. Because your soul depends upon how you view the scriptures. Because man can lead you astray. God will never lead you astray. Then material things are not permanent, and they're going to be destroyed one day. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6:19, said, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. That's what can happen to our material treasures. But he said, don't do that. Put your trust in God. Put your obedience unto God. The Lord and the Lion. How's your relationship to God tonight? You need to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. We encourage you to do that tonight because this is your opportunity. Don't let God be in the right relationship with God by repenting your sins, confessing the name of Christ before this assembly and be baptized for remission of your sins. If you've already done that and you, as a child of God, you see that you need to make a rededication of your life, and you see you've not been as faithful as you once was, that you need to come and rededicate your allegiance unto God. And we encourage you to do that tonight as together we stand and sing at this time.